We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from Pittsburgh. The game, the series, and a brutal nine-game road trip. It ends with a Brewers 8-3 win. And welcome, everybody. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50, and how about that? They get it done. Hogwash about house money. I don't know where you sat. It's the Tim and Tausch takeover here for a game that they really needed. They absolutely needed this one, and they got it. And hats off to the offense on a predetermined bullpen game where the offense knew they were under a little bit of a pressure situation here. They knew that they're going to have to get runs on the board and give these pitchers some support here. And Drew Pomeranz, we'll get into our game recap in just a bit. Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, and a very satisfying Brewers sweep over the Pirates and a very satisfying bailout of the nine-gamer.
That's a good way to put it, satisfying, Timmy. That was it was a tough situation today, especially when you walk in here with an opportunity to go 3-6 on this road trip when you saw how bad it could have been, and you get swept out of Chicago and you're going into Pittsburgh, a place that outside of the record looks a lot better than some of these games have been against the Pirates in the last year plus. I mean, we talked about how much of a thorn they were in the side of them last year, and you did what you had to do. You put the dying dog out of their misery, and the Pittsburgh Pirates go from 2.5 games out of first place at All-Star break to 14, going 4-21 in their first 25 games out of the All-Star break this year. That's outstanding.
And just amazing that you're 12-4 thus far against the Pittsburgh Pirates this year. And, you know, I was reading that stat earlier today. After this win, you've won 12 of 16 head-to-head against this team. And it really doesn't feel like that.
Not at all.
These Pirates, they can be a thorn in your side, as you said. And little gnats that just won't go away. But they have manhandled the Pittsburgh Pirates this year in the Central.
And what else they've done, Tim, is now at this point, they've shown that they're now the class, or they're in that class. They're in the echelon with the Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals, and pointing out they're going to stay here. And you think this was a bad road trip for the Brewers. It wraps up at 4-5 and ends up being a good bailout. But look at what the St. Louis Cardinals, the streakiest team in all of baseball, did out west now. 0-5 against the Dodgers and A's, respectively, in the last week.
Yeah, and they get walked off on. How about that? The Dodgers, 10 walk-off victories.
It's crazy.
That is just a crazy stat right there. 799-1250. Want to get your reaction. Has it changed your philosophy just a little bit that they did get the sweep here? I heard you guys having a conversation on the Wendy's Big Show today about house money. And whether or not the Brewers were in that situation today, I didn't agree. I said it wasn't house money. It's just a game you got to have. Because all told, in the three different time zones, out to Oakland, a very good baseball team, down to Chicago, a good baseball team, and then over to the Pirates, where you've had your struggles in Pittsburgh, to come out of that collectively. And again, we can slice and dice each game, and we have. But collectively, to come out of that 4-5, it's got to make the team feel a little bit better.
Well, and two, Tim, what does this do for a team coming out of the road trip? Also, how you won this game today. When we had that conversation, I had just read off a lineup that did not include Lorenzo Cain, and we didn't have an injury update, and it did not include Christian Yelich for the second straight day, and we didn't have an injury update there, and you're just wondering what it could be, because you knew that it had to have been something back related with Yelich. And you knew the injury. You saw it last night to Lokane. But when you walk into that clubhouse, two of your leaders, your two horses walking in, not there tonight, it seemed like this was going to be one of those games that was going to be very, very tough for you to get. And albeit it ends up being the runaway that we've been looking for a while.
Yeah, and I think the only blemish in this Brewers victory would be some sketchy defense in this game. That growing pains, growing pains.
Needs to get better defensively. Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly how you fall on that realm and exactly how much better he can get. He is only 23 years old, so we'll give him that break. But dude's got to get a little bit better defensively. 11 errors in like 51 games.
Yeah, that's not a good ratio.
That's not a good ratio.
But however, offensively, he is our spark of the game. Electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. Our spark of the game, that's Keston Hira. A couple of home runs, a double in this ball game. He really, now again, you talk about the team bailing out in the 9-game road trip. I think Keston Hira bailed himself out. He was really struggling on this road trip and did do, an amazing job today. Your spark of the game with Current Electric is indeed Keston Hira. Go back to our game recap here. First inning, Brewers do get on the board. Two-out double by Mike Moustakas and the aforementioned Keston Hira.
Hits that one high and deep into right center field. Marte going back, and that one is gone. A two-run home run for Keston Hira.
Hey, he heard you. Boy, that ball to the opposite field. That ball hasn't really been traveling all that well in this series.
Yeah, it's big time for Keston right there. And Drew Pomeranz, 11 pitches, 1-2-3 scoreless, bottom of the first inning. That was pivotal. You didn't want him to answer back. You need the shutdown inning. You didn't know how far Drew Pomeranz was going to go in this one. You knew there's a long string of relievers behind him. I think they're overjoyed with his production. In this one, Brewers back at it, top of the second inning, a leadoff triple by Ryan Braun, and it sets up Ben Gamel.
Ben Gamel is going to do better than that. In the air, deep center, plenty deep to score Braun, as Marte will make the catch, shy of the track, and Braun will stroll in for the third run of the game, as Gamel, with his 28th RBI, it's a sacrifice fly.
Brewers have done a pretty good job of that one.
And you're feeling pretty good right there, up 3-0 after two frames offensively, and Drew Pomeranz backs it up again, bottom of the second. A 1-2-3 inning, 28 pitches through the two frames for Pomeranz into the third inning, and the Brewers back on it. This I'm going to call the turning point here, where you're up 3-0, Billy, and,
yep.
And then you tack on
Huge.
In that third inning.
And you do it with out a home run. I think that is one of the things that Craig Counsell has been stressing to us, and fans have been talking about a lot on this show, is the lack of being able to get runs in without the home run. They do it here.
They do. They get a base hit by Yasmani Grandal, a double by Keston Hira, and how about Eric Thames with a two-out, two-run base hit?
Thames, shift is on. It's through for a base hit. In to score Grandal. Hira will score behind him, and Eric Thames with a two-out, two RBI single. He beats the shift, and the Brewers lead 5-0.
Yeah, they put a five spot through the three innings offensively. Pomeranz into the bottom of the third inning. Gives up a solo shot to Stallings. 40 pitches, one run through the three innings of work. 5-1 into the fourth inning. They come up empty there. Junior Guerra takes over. So hats off just to Drew Pomeranz. I don't know if they expected three innings of one-run ball.
No.
But they'll take it in this one.
And this, another, you griped about last night, your dismay with the way that you cannot win, or that you cannot get an RBI if you hit into a double play and a run still scores. Drew Pomeranz won the game today. He was the winning pitcher tonight, and he can't because he only went three innings. It was huge for him to go with that 40 pitches, three innings, and really, Tim, what I think he did is he allowed not only himself and probably also Devin Williams to stay up here on the big league roster.
He pitches three innings, Junior Guerra two innings, Jeremy Jeffress a frame, Devin Williams a couple of innings, and Freddie Peralta the final inning. And you're going to tell me that Drew Pomeranz, solely because you deemed him as a starter, yet in theory, you give the win to somebody else that didn't pitch as much, and you can make the argument not as good. He did give up a run, but man, that's a
he also
that's
left with a 5-1 lead.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's just call a spade a spade. He left with a 5-1 lead. The game was over after he was in.
Yeah, it was. And the Brewers up 5-1 as Junior Guerra enters that game in the bottom of the fourth inning. He takes over, and he pitches a scoreless frame there. And he was into some trouble in there. And since I was watching Junior Guerra very closely here, because he's been a little spotty. And he did get into trouble. The air certainly doesn't help by Keston Hira. Mm-hmm. And I think Keston, the internal clock for Keston Hira needs to get a little bit better. He wasn't going to turn the double play on that error there. Just catch the ball, get that lead runner right there, and you're in much better shape.
And if you're able to just do that and make the consistent plays, I think that's going to be the biggest issue. You're not expecting Keston to be this flashy Orlando Arcia-like defender where he's making stabs left and right. You just got to be able to make the adequate plays and allow yourself to get out of the inning.
And Junior works his way out, 2-on, 1-out because of the error. A couple of ground balls gets him out of that fourth inning, and the crew back at it in the fifth inning. How about to this point after this swing, 3-for-3 with a couple of homers and a double.
And he is back, and she's gone! What a night Keston Hira is putting together. His second home run of the game, his third hit of the game, and he makes it 6-1 Milwaukee.
Now, not to sound like an old curmudgeon, Billy, but just play the bat hitting the ball at the front end of that highlight right there. You can't tell me that that's not
to center.
As barreled up as you can possibly be.
Yeah, that's about it, Timmy. That's about as clean as it gets. And even that, it was barreled up, but it was such a high fly ball. They go on, and BA was talking about it. It was like the major league conversation they're having out in the bleachers. No, too high. No, too high.
Yeah.
Too high. No, it's too far. Who gives a crap? It's gone.
Yeah, that's big time. Barrel to ball skills, 6-1. Guerra pitches another scoreless frame. As he really stepped up here, and that was important for Junior Guerra. They're going to depend on him in some big situations down the stretch here. A couple of scoreless frames as the Brewers take a 5-run lead into the sixth. They go up 7 off the bench for Lorenzo Cain.
And that is a fair ball just inside the bag. In to score is Gamble. Arcia right behind him. And the move pays off for Craig Counsell.
Well, that's just vintage Lorenzo Cain, is it not? He got jammed. He's able to get a bat on that high fastball. Just serves it down the right field line. Beautiful piece of hitting by Lorenzo.
8-1 at that point. And the bullpen really just all game just manned up. Devin Williams makes his major league debut, and the kid strikes out the first man he faces. And get used to this young man here, because a lot of people forgot about him, a 2013 first pick for the Brewers. I believe that year they were without a first, or at least it was way low. And he has Tommy John. He's lost, forgotten about almost for a while, gets the TJ, comes back, and this kid can throw gas, and he's got a devastating changeup.
The coolest thing about it, too, is as he's getting warm, and this game was also not only on Fox Sports Wisconsin, but also on ESPN. So I was checking out the four-letter network while he was starting out his first part of the appearance. And to listen to guys that played in the big leagues marvel at that changeup, Tim, him to go 97 to 87 and have the thing just drop off the table, that's a nasty, nasty pitch.
Yeah, and you wonder if he's going to be, or he's at least a candidate now, to maybe be the Corbin Burns of last year down the stretch.
It's the best opportunity. Because as much as I want Freddie Peralta to be, it doesn't necessarily seem like Freddie Peralta wants to take the brass ring and run away with this thing and run away with like 8 scoreless outings.
Yeah, well, Freddie's going to have to mature here very quickly to be in those high-leverage situations. And I don't know if he's done a ton to be removed quite yet, Billy. I still have the thumbs up
sure
on Freddie Peralta. I do.
he definitely hasn't done enough to get removed from that situation. But I think what he's definitely done is, I mean, you see tonight, he's coming in a game that's 8-3. Granted, it is in the ninth inning, but before, he wouldn't be have been used if it wasn't a one- or two-run game.
Indeed. Devin Williams does get gives up a couple of runs unearned in his second frame of work. And how about this? Jeremy Jeffress in to pitch a scoreless eighth inning. And you talk about who the Brewers are going to depend on in that bullpen. We need Junior Guerra, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you also need Jeremy Jeffress to come back. Velo numbers looking a little bit better here as he pitches a scoreless eighth.
If you are able to be in a situation where Jeremy Jeffress is locked down like he was, and to get the scowl and the velocity was up tonight, that was the one thing that I think has been lacking ever since he started the year with that dead arm, Timmy. It's been a lack of velocity consistently. The velocity comes back here for the next couple of months, he can be dangerous again.
Successful as Freddie Peralta finishes up a scoreless ninth inning and the Brewers go on for an 8-3 victory. They're now four games over 500, back into second place in the NL Central at a 60-56 clip. And with 46 games remaining, heck, you go 500 from here, Billy. And again, you can project out all you want. That schedule's tough. I'm just saying, you split it in half, that's 23 games. You're at 83 by just 500. Does it seem like they could get mid to upper 80s? I think your projection of 86 is probably right on the mark.
Yeah, and what you're going to have to do, though, is you're going to have to do what you did in this series, Tim, and you're going to have to take advantage of opportunities when you play bad teams. We've made fun of Joe for the conversation about it quite some time because every single baseball team is going to lose series to bad teams. But you don't have a whole lot of those left on the schedule. You get a four-gamer against Miami. You see San Diego for four and Pittsburgh again one more time. But that's about the cupcakes that you're going to get once this thing heats up after Texas is out of Miller Park.
Going to have to play better baseball, and they did over this three-game set in Pittsburgh, and they sweep the Pirates, bailing out with a 4-5 mark in the nine-game three-city tour that they won on. That's the longest road trip that they will see thus far this year. Toward the end of the year here, there's nothing near what they've gone through here in nine games. So that part of the grueling schedule is done. They get an off day tomorrow. They're back at Miller Park one game at a time, and they did it. They got it done in a bullpen game of all games. And the offense, don't look now, in two of these games, a 9-run performance and an 8-run performance. You take that. It's time for the offense to start doing some heavy lifting. 414-799-1250. Feeling just a little bit better after they get these bailouts here. By bailing out, I guess you feel a little bit better after getting swept by that team down south. You come back and you grab those three games immediately. That, to me, is the biggest part of this. Yeah, the nine games, the nine game, whatever. But you lose four straight, including three in Chicago. And you grab three back immediately, and that's big time. Are you as excited as I am about this? They're hanging in there, folks. I mean, they are. And a lot of people say they're not supposed to be. We'll talk more after the break here. Tim and Taos, a Brewers victory and a sweep over the Pirates. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50 here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Brewers get the victory. 8-3 final to cap off the sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And when you needed a sweep, you got it. And that's the most impressive thing. They did really need this thing.
Big time.
And are they as good at... The Brewers clearly are a better baseball team than the Pittsburgh Pirates. That doesn't always mean that you get a sweep, but when you needed it, you had to have it. While the Cubs were taking 2 of 3 against Oakland, just to match and stay four games back, that's danger zone, guys. And you got the sweep. You actually gained a game in a three-game set, and that's big time. It really is. 799-1250. Who got lit up? How about Trevor Williams? right out of the chute. He gets lit up. Keston Hira lights him up for a two-run jack in that first inning, and Brewers go on to put up a five spot on him before he exits. He got lit up with Heiser Automotive. It's your day at Heiser.com, and we go to John right around Miller Park. So he'll probably be there over the weekend. John, you're on the fan. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know it's Giddings again.
Giddings.
Just want to say that Keston Hira, you know, this guy is the best hitting prospect to come up for the Brewers since Ryan Braun 12 years ago. I mean, he's phenomenal. From his first game on, he's just been tearing it up. And even though there were the rules of view, there was issue with him getting next year of control. It still was a big mistake to send him down. But now he's back up, and he's just tearing the cover off the ball. I mean, there's not much. I mean, you can say everything, or you can say nothing about this guy. The guy has just been flat out amazing, and he's given the Brewers an answer at second base, a position that they have had issues with for a long time.
Well, and they had Scooter Gennett there. Giddings, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're right. You didn't like Matt Gamble as a hitting prospect coming up after Ryan Braun?
Man, I thought Matt Gamble was just amazing. I had the 24 T-shirt, and it wasn't even one, Tim, that I felt good about cutting the sleeves off and still wearing around. Like, I still rock around in the old school Giovanni Gallardo royal blue with the pinstripes across with Brewers. I still rock in a weird alternate gray from Alcides Escobar rocking the number 21. The Matt Gamble I felt bad about wearing again. That's really not becoming as hot of a take as people think, though, because it's pretty clean as day to see that Keston Hira is doing just about what Ryan Braun was doing, because if it wasn't for Pete Alonso, Keston Hira would be the front runner for Rookie of the Year in the National League.
He would, and we can see in the way he handles himself, we're seeing some adjustments on the fly, and that's the big thing about Keston Hira, and that's the word from the internal guys, the hitting coaches, his manager, et cetera, his teammates. He does a great job adjusting, not only adjusting his own swing, generally speaking, but he also adjusts at-bat to at-bat, and he adjusts inside the same at-bat. It's pretty amazing to see. It is.
That's something that big league professional hitters for a long time do. There was a really cool picture that they had on the Brewers Twitter account earlier today, and we retweeted it on the fan account, of Keston Hira sitting there before the game with this big white binder, right? And he's just sitting there in the dugout. He's got this big binder, and you would think that it was him looking at Tim's baseball card collection. Instead, what it was is he was looking at the scouting report, getting ready for Trevor Williams, and what does he do? Slaps them all around the yard for two bombs.
Yeah, it was, and it is pretty impressive. And it's, he's the type of hitter. Now, he was in the prolonged slump during this road trip. He was 3-for-28 at one point, 3-for-27 at one point. He got the base hit in his final at-bat last night. And then he rattles off three straight in this game, a couple of home runs, including the double. He was hit by a pitch. You make anything of that?
Not unless he's going to be Derek Dietrich getting hit by the pitches.
I just don't know if that was a retaliatory thing. I don't think that Keston Hira is a hot dog type of player.
Can't think so. It would be funny, though, because if there would be one guy on the Brewers roster that you would pick to charge the mound, Keston Hira would be the last one anyone would pick.
Yes. No question. I don't see him pimping a lot of home runs and rubbing anything in. He does. And he...
The other one that knows that he's a good hitter right now, and he's showing it as well, is your boy Trent Grisham.
He knows he's good, too. There's a quiet confidence about him, and I was about to bring up him in this regard. At least I do, as a Brewers fan. I have to sort of control myself from thinking about the possibilities between Grisham, Keston Hira, and Christian Yelich in the same lineup for about 3 years. Minimum.
Minimum, I mean, this is three years. That's the bare minimum if they cannot sign Yelich to anything longer than his current deal.
Grisham, Keston Hira, and Christian Yelich in the same lineup. Now, again, we're anointing Grisham as a guy, as a high-end hitter. All indications are is that he is. And he, I just like him in terms of, because I like the quiet confidence of Keston Hiura. Grisham is the same way. It's like this was their plan. This was their plan. That this didn't surprise them when they got to the big leagues. No, what would surprise them is that if they didn't end up in an all-star game, mm-hmm. or they didn't end up winning a World Series, or a batting title, or a homer title, or something like that, that's what would surprise them. Being in the big leagues, hitting home runs, having some success in the big leagues, these two kids, it doesn't seem to surprise them. Am I reading that right?
Well, you can always tell when somebody knows that they're over their head. And Tim, I think this is true in just about any profession. If it's not sports, it can be in accounting. It can be in if you're a lawyer, whatever it might be. You can always tell when somebody's better than you. You can always tell when you might be outclassed. And there's no time where these guys feel like they're overmatched. And I think the best part about it is when you are that first round pick and you have all the accolades coming with you, Trent Grisham more in particular, he's eaten a little bit of humble pie on the way up to the big leagues, but understanding how to get better and to just continually trust that hard work, it's crazy how lucky hardworking people can be, especially in pro sports.
But you compare and contrast some of the younger prospects in the game, at least in regards to the Brewers situation. Let's compare a Trent Grisham, a Keston Hiura, guys that we typically talk to. And let's say Keston Hiura, for example, versus Brett Phillips. Okay, so Brett Phillips comes over in the trade, fires and Gomez deal from Houston. He's part of the Hauser, Hader, Domingo Santana, and Brett Phillips. Brett Phillips, at that time, everybody raving over Brett Phillips. He's the crown jewel of the trade. He's the one that's going to step up, be the star.
Right.
He comes over. We talk to him. He clowns around.
He's so amazing. He's funny. He's got the laugh. Everybody loves him. He's the greatest guy ever. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And on his path, at the same time, Keston Hiura is doing his thing. We talk to him, and he's just super kind of chill.
Knows sweating his bullets when we're talking to him for the first time because he was nervous as all get up.
And he knows his path is there. So they both get and we'll incorporate Trent Grisham into this too. They get humbled. And Brett Phillips had the same thing. You remember that year he had a double A? He mm-hmm. was awful. Brett Phillips was horrible. But then he stepped back up the following year and stepped up a little bit, started climbing the food chain. Same with Trent Grisham. Same sort of path. Number one draft choice, out of high school, has got to grow up a little bit, really struggles a little bit, then has the breakout. And maybe, you know, after the struggles, that's when you truly mature as a baseball player, whether that happens to be in the minor leagues or the big leagues. Now you're seeing mm-hmm. the other side of what happens when you struggle. And those three are examples of you just kind of know. And you knew Brett Phillips. I don't know if it was – I couldn't put my finger on was he legit high-grade talent? And at the time, yes, of the trade, but shortly thereafter, it didn't seem so.
It appeared to you that he was just happy to be there?
That's the sentiment I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And two, Tim, I think the other one that you're going to maybe be able to clump into this cluster that you just talked about with Grisham is Devin Williams. There was a conversation that he had with Adam McAlvey, and Adam posted it on Brewers.com where he said he had talked to Devin Williams. He's like, yeah, man, I expect to be up in the major leagues. When he gets drafted, I expect there to be about 2-3 years. He got humbled majorly on his way up here. Second round pick in 2013 takes all the way till 2019. Granted, a high school arm drafted that high. There's volatility in that. You have the Tommy John. You get yourself back. You're as a reliever. And like that, he hits the futures game this year. Even though he was at double A, it seemed like he would be ready to go at any point in time when he knew that he was going to eventually get this call.
This hour on The Fan brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com as the Brewers get an 8-3 victory over the Pirates to sweep that three-game set and to come back after a 9-gamer, Oakland, Chicago, Pittsburgh at 4-5. And honestly, when it starts out 1-5, that's a nice bailout. We'll take a break, come back. Our wrench-and-go drive of the game. How about you pick it? one of the two home runs that Keston Hira blasted today in this Brewers victory. Brought to you by Wrench and Go, our drive of the game. Need auto parts? Find out more at wrenchandgo.com. It's an all-access yard, and you bring your own tools. They get the victory here tonight. 8-3 the final. You got to be feeling good. Right in the thick of it, second place, three games back. We'll be back on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
8-3 final. Brewers get the victory and they sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates. The conversation we just had about younger players filtering through the Brewers system, we discounted talking about a guy like Adrian Hauser, a guy like Corbin Burns.
And a guy like Brandon Woodruff. What was that? Yeah. Wasn't that the first thing I said to you, Tim? I got to interview him a couple of years ago, right after he made that major league debut out in Tampa Bay. And I, as we were going in there, I was like, man, they just... The dude just looks like a big league pitcher. Like he just looks like he's got a confidence about him. Like, yeah, man, I'm gonna go out here and throw 97 and see exactly what I can do. And you know, it was a lot of fun. I really like playing baseball, and as much as I can play baseball, that sounds like about the most fun I could have. And
had he just to grind through the six, but yeah, you know, I got a couple of bad pitches.
My sinker wasn't all that great in the seventh, and it kind of just got back to me. And baseball to him, and you just know, you can see the dudes that walk in, and we used to always joke about this, and it was probably kind of mean. We used to always make fun of Tim when you'd walk in and the freshmen are coming in for the first camp. You could always see the guys that were not going to see graduation day on the football team. You know, they would graduate from school, but you could tell the kids that weren't going to make it to graduation day, and you could always see the ones that were probably going to be in what we call the morning group, where you were practicing with the two deep, and you were going to have a chance to play and be on the bus right away as a freshman. You can tell pretty much as soon as you get around some of these guys, those are dudes that you can tell are going to be big league players.
You know, we're fortunate enough to be a little bit closer than the average fan. And at least I can speak for me that over the years, yeah, obviously a fan, but got a job to do as well. We're fortunate enough to have more conversations with these guys, see more interaction with the teammates going at each other a little bit than most fans do. So with that being said, these guys, sometimes you can tell, and I'm not going to sit and tell you that I'm the best reader of people, because I've been known to be wrong on this stuff. But sometimes you just know. Sometimes the player wants you to know that he knows.
And sometimes the player can tell who's the best outlet that will actually understand what they're saying.
True. Yep. And so when we have conversations about some of these younger guys, you would think it's September 24th right now, and the Brewers are 12 and a half back. That's not the case. That's the biggest celebration out of all of this conversation, is that the Brewers will not go away. Yet, some of the pieces they're using, Billy, would be like go-away teams would use. They'd bring up their prospects at this point. Service time really is cleared. We're months beyond that. Let's get a look at some of these guys. You would think that the Brewers were 13 back right now. They're staying in this thing, and it's pretty amazing that we're having rookie conversations about the ceiling of really high-end baseball players, yet they're in the thick of a pennant race.
It's funny to me. It was about a couple of weeks ago in the middle of the Cubs' run. Javi Baez hit like two homers a couple of nights ago, right? And I was reading the story out of the Tribune, and it was like a four-year or five-year anniversary of when he made his major league debut.
Yeah.
That was when the Cubs' winning window was starting to open, and they were bringing up the Chris Bryant. They were bringing up the Javi Baez, Addison Russell, you name them, and implementing them into the heat of a pennant race. And if they flame out, fine. But if they become the legitimate baseball player that we think they are, then they're going to stay in a starting lineup with regularity. and help us win at the big league level. Because if you look at how you do it in pro football, you got to win with cheap players. And if you're winning with rookies and inexpensive players on rookie deals, you're going to have a lot of sustained success.
How valuable is a pennant race for guys like Keston Hiura, guys like Trent Grisham and Devin Williams and Adrian Hauser, and what Corbin Burns and Woody went through last year certainly has helped one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it definitely was beneficial for one of them. And the thing is, too, with Corbin Burns, I know I've had my fun with him, and you too, Tim, but I know some people think that I've been particularly hard on Corbin Burns. I think more of it is just I'm surprised of how bad it got for Corbin this year, because he is a much better player than he showed this year, and it kind of stinks to know that he's not going to have an opportunity to showcase that ability again this year.
Craig Counsell has his team in the thick of a pennant race with 46 games remaining here in the 2019 championship season. They do sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates, and here's what he had to say afterwards.
Craig, would you say that kind of went as well as you could hope from the bullpen standpoint of, you know, using so many different guys?
Yeah, well, you know, I thought the first two guys just put us in a great position to run the game how we wanted to. Drew was excellent. He pounded the strike zone, quick innings. You know, that was best case scenario for Drew. So that was huge. And then Junior's innings were good. I thought Trent Grisham's play was a big part of that. Well, he made a really nice play that kind of stopped or shut down a possible rally for them. And then got through the both innings. So. And then, you know, Devin was outstanding. I thought he pitched really, really well. I thought he made a great pitch to Reynolds there at the end that he did a really nice job on. But he got us five more outs, and then we were in really good shape. So those guys all did nice work. You know, we had a full bullpen day and didn't use Josh. That's a good thing.
What kind of difference did it make, too, just jumping out to an early lead, getting to Trevor Williams, you know, on a day like today when you're
making music? Yeah, I mean, it allowed us to, you know, in addition, we were obviously down position players, and so we were able to, you know, do some quirky things a little bit with that, and early runs were huge. Lorenzo's hit was huge to make it 8-1 and really, or 7-1 and put us in, I think 8-1 and put us in a really good spot and comfortable. So just an all around good game.
We talked before the game about, you know, Keston had been in kind of a little bit of a skid, and you said with his hit tools, he probably won't stay in one for long. Well, he kind of broke out in a big way.
Yeah, I think he showed it tonight. I mean, he just got balls where he needed them out over the plate. And, you know, the first one is like the homer he hits consistently in BP. If you watch his BP, it's a lot of that. And the second one was just, it was impressive, you know. I mean, that seems like it's a fly ball out to deep center, but his just keep going. So big day, you know, huge day from Keston.
Keston has said before that he thinks his mental side of the game is maybe the strongest or easiest part of the game. Is that kind of apparent to you, given what he's done this season? Snaps out of that skid, he comes back from the demotion after Shaw comes up and just does what he does?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of stuff that when we talk about making adjustments at the plate, that's the kind of stuff that allows you to make adjustments at the plate. It allows you to kind of go through stretches like that and still remain confident, not try to change, not think you have to change a lot. It's really about getting pitchers to hit, and he got pitchers to hit tonight and handled them.
Craig, what about turning a 1-5 trip into a 4-5 trip? 4-5 trip that has to feel a lot better.
It feels better every day of the week. Yeah, every day that feels better. You know, it's look, that's the baseball season, man. It's like, you know, I think we I'm proud of our guys for, you know, there's not going to be quit. There's not going to be, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves. And no matter what happened after Chicago, we're still right in the middle of this thing and right in the thick of it. They know it. It doesn't feel like that when you lose three in a row, but you look at the standings and it tells you you're right in it. And you know, we all have phones, and you can look at the standings and tell yourself you're right in it even after losing three. So we're square in the middle of this thing. And, you know, there's going to be down times and there's going to be good times. And these guys know that. You know, they know this is a tough road, and you got to earn this playoff spot. But we'll keep fighting for it.
That play Trent made in the deepest part of left field, how impressive was that to you?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, like Lorenzo, he took his eye off it and just started running a little bit and then put his glove up at the last second. And we haven't seen Trent play the outfield a lot, but that was a great play, and it was a huge play. He covered a lot of ground, and you know that's why we put him out there.
Right. How important is it to have this kind of bullpen depth, especially when you have some starters back there?
Well, what's nice is, you know, to get a big league debut like Devin Williams and see, hey, this is another guy that fits here and we can use, and knowing Drew is going to step back into the bullpen and play an important role for us. So I do feel like, you know, with the addition of a couple guys, Jake Faria threw two big scoreless innings yesterday. You know, we're starting to put some weapons together. That do allow us while we're banged up in the starting pitching to do some different things and on a night and get a win on a night like tonight.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, there you go. Leave it to the professionals to talk about Wrench and Go right there. Brewers get an 8-3 victory tonight. And going back to Craig Counsell right there, I loved what a lot of the things he had to say last year down the stretch, and especially what he said to his team. Super cool, super impressive. But he nutshelled the situation that the Brewers are in. I want to get that back to you after the sports flash here with Sam Schmitz. So stick around for that. I was pretty impressed. Both Billy and I here in the studio were very impressed with what he had to say about the situation that the Brewers are in right now, Billy.
It's something that we've been kind of stressing and been made fun of a little bit back and forth, but it's a pennant race. And this is the grind of a baseball season that teams and organizations and fan bases that are in this every single year, they become accustomed to this every once every couple of years where the division is down and it's a tough run and each team gets hit with some injuries and there's back and forth play and guys go down and guys come up. And a season can be won with a division winner about 86, 87 games. It doesn't look pretty, but that team still gets to go and play for a World Series.
Well, I think what's impressive here is the dynamic of the offense, how easier it looks when your offense once in a while puts up runs. And that was the gripe over the weekend. You were in Vegas, and Brewers were getting their tails handed to him down in Chicago, mm-hmm. And it literally, the offense makes your pitching better. Guys, this is about the offense. We know the pitchers are going to man up. They are, and they have been. But now, you see how an offense wins a bullpen game. It wasn't even really close. Really wasn't. And I'll tell you, in this win here, I don't think Craig used as many pitchers as he thought.
No.
He was going to use or had intended to or expected to use.
Well, and that's why I think Josh Hader definitely was off the table yesterday. Tim, you brought it up that you wanted to see him yesterday going on a back-to-back after throwing for four outs the night before. If he throws yesterday, there's no way that he's pitching today. And if you were going to tell Craig Counsell that he was going to win this game and not use Josh Hader or Christian Yelich, he would have called you a liar and maybe something that the FCC wouldn't like either.
The bonus drive of the game with Wrench and Go here. I know earlier we had Keston Hira pick a home run, either one of them. He had a couple in tonight's ball game. But how about the drive to the airport and the flight home? That's got to be be feeling a lot better for this baseball team for sure.
They are going to feel so nice climbing into their own beds here after a week and a half, Tim. That's a long run. And for people to say, well, they get paid a lot of money, it's travel, that travel wears on you, especially when you're putting in 9 to 10 hour days at the ballpark every single day. Go home and see your family. They get a nice little homestand here coming up.
8-3 final. Go back and play you
what we really liked about Craig Counsell tonight. That's next here on The Fan.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
Hi, welcome back. An 8-3 Brewers victory, and we'll get to a Craig Counsell line that kind of sums up the situation that the Brewers are in right now. After we take a look at some of the numbers here, Brewers feeling good after a sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right. I mean, they're in a situation here, Tim, 60 and 56 now with Trent Grisham leading off 1-for-5 day. And when your top six hitters in your lineup, Tim, get a base hit, that's usually a recipe for success. Yasmani Grandal also 1-for-5 with a run scored. Mike Moustakas 1-for-5 with a run scored. Keston Hira was the one driving a lot of them in. 3 RBIs, a 3-for-4 day with 3 runs scored for Keston. Gets hit by a pitch as well with his first career multi-home run game. Eric Thames drives in 2 with a bleeder right underneath the second baseman, Tim. That was a huge play in that inning. And Brian Anderson says he beats the shift. Really, I mean, he just sneaks it by the shift as it just got underneath the glove there of Frazier.
Yeah, pretty amazing how putting a ball in play, sometimes you're going to get a handful of hits throughout the course of a season. Get it in play. Eric Thames been known to do a little swing and missing. Once and again, but no, he comes through here with 2 outs, and that's the key right there. A couple of runs with 2 outs.
3 plate appearances for Ryan Braun. He was 1-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. Manny Pena 0-for-1 in his pinch hit chance. Ben Gamel 0-for-2 with a couple of walks, a run scored, an RBI, and a K there for Ben Gamel. Orlando Arcia continues hitting the baseball 1-for-4 with a run scored. Don't look now, Timmy, but now all the way up to 230 is that batting average for your boy Orlando Arcia.
No, and he's had a good road trip. He really has. This guy has been known to be a streaky hitter, and that's the thing with Orlando Arcia. That, to me, is the fun throughout the course of a major league season. Probably not based on what we've
seen.
Yeah. However, can he get a little more consistent? And I think that's what the crew is after.
Tim, I want you to tell me which one of these stats you thought is more impressive. Drew Pomeranz, 3 innings, 1 hit, 1 run. It was a solo shot, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. Or Drew Pomeranz got 2 at-bats in this game. There's no way Craig Counsell thought his pitcher in a bullpen day was going to come up twice.
No, he didn't, but he didn't want to burn a position player. They were a player or two down, as you heard him talk about, and it didn't surprise me that he did bat in that third inning, yet Junior Guerra pitches the fourth inning. They just had to bite the bullet there. What best case scenario in that situation was going to be if the Brewers had a couple of runners aboard and Pomeranz just lays down a sacrifice bunt, but it doesn't happen. He attacked the zone, Billy, and that's the key to Drew's outing tonight, is that they needed him to get through quick.
Yep.
And to limit the number of arms that were used tonight. I don't want to beat the dead horse here, but I don't believe they went I assume that they were going to use 2 to 3 additional pitchers than what they used tonight, but Pomeranz was a big part of that.
Yeah, he was when he gets the first 3 innings there, and Junior Guerra comes in, ends up with the win, 5-3 now, 2 innings scoreless with a hit, a walk, and a strikeout through 41 pitches. 41 pitches in an inning and 2/3 for Devin Williams, 3 hits, 2 unearned runs for the rookie in his major league debut, a walk and 3 Ks. From young Devin Williams, what did you see out of number 38?
Yeah, this guy, I believe, is going to be successful in the big leagues just based on his stuff. And we talk about stuff all the time, and it looks like he's got it. I was a little questioning early on with him, and him and I had a conversation just, you know, maybe less than a year after he was drafted. And it was like a deer in headlights type of kid. He's his first spring training and pro ball, and he's got his feet wet a little bit from the prior year in some summer ball. But
and you scared him.
I may have.
And
I may
him.
Have set his
yeah,
career
nice.
Back
Good
a
work.
Year and a half.
Way
I think
go.
That's
Good
what
job,
did
Alan.
It. But the changeup, and again, sit next to Josh Hader and show him how to throw that changeup. That might be a nice little combination.
Oh, man, that would be huge. That changeup is so nasty from Devin Williams. Jeremy Jeffress, good to see him with a scoreless appearance. He needed it. one and a third innings of work, a hit scattered across just 12 pitches for JJ. That ERA, yikes. A 486 for Jeremy Jeffress. Wow. Freddie Peralta with a scoreless frame. Couple of Ks in the ninth as he finishes off the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Brewers finish off the Pittsburgh Pirates. They score twice in the first, once in the second, twice in the third. And they finish it up 8 runs on 10 hits. 2 errors, though. Watch out. Come on now, Keston Hira. 3 runs and 6 hits. 2 errors, though, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now 60 and 56 are your Milwaukee Brewers. 3 games back of front-running Chicago. But, Tim, you look at that wild card spot, and I know you don't like that one-game wild card.
Mm-mm.
Just a half game back of the Philadelphia Phillies, who right now to the fighting Arizona Diamondbacks are down 4-0 in the bottom half of the fifth inning.
Yeah, there you go. A big win for the crew today, 8-3 to cap the sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And you're going to be hearing this soundbite throughout a conversation tomorrow. Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, and the Wendy's Big Show. Craig Counsell sums up the situation that the Brewers are in right now, being 3 games back, as Billy just said, and 46 remain in the regular season. He sums it up this way.
Look, that's the baseball season, man. It's like, you know, I think we I'm proud of our guys for... You know, there's not going to be quit. There's not going to be, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves. And no matter what happened after Chicago, we're still right in the middle of this thing and right in the thick of it. They know it. It doesn't feel like that when you lose 3 in a row, but you look at the standings and it tells you you're right in it. And, you know, we all have phones and you can look at the standings and tell yourself you're right in it even after losing 3. So, we're square in the middle of this thing. And, you know, there's going to be down times and there's going to be good times. And these guys know that. You know, they know this is a tough road and you got to earn this playoff spot. But we'll keep fighting for it.
There's probably some validation there that he mentioned the Chicago series. To me, that validates the fact that when he says down times and good times, that was a really downtime for this team.
Yeah, and because of the way you lost those games, Tim, you can say that it's easier to lose those runaway games than the tight nail biters. But when you don't play one in a 3-game stretch against a team that you're desperately trying to get at least the series against, when you're looking at the Chicago Cubs and you're chasing them in that sense, to go in there and just get run out of the ballpark on 3 straight games.
Wow.
That's wearing, and that tries a team's fortitude and ability to continue to move forward, especially when you're going to the divisional park for 3 games. That shows a lot of resolve that this baseball team has.
And I think at some point over the weekend in that Chicago series that you felt like a dagger was there. You felt as down, and I mentioned it too, and it had been as down this year as it had ever been in the first 3.5 months of the season. It didn't get any lower than that.
I played that soundbite of you on Sunday's show, and I apologize for it, where you were saying, this is like rock fill-in-the-blank bottom.
Okay.
Because I'm not just singling you out though, Tim. There had to have been players in those clubhouses. I've gotten blown out a bunch of times.
Yes, you have. Yes.
I got blown out all the time. That it tries a team and it's no fun for anybody in the room. And at one point in time you look around and say, guys, this is as bad as it's gonna get. We need to figure out something now here.
Yeah, and Craig Counsell summed it up right there. So be prepared to kind of lean on that soundbite a little bit when it does get down. I promise I'll do the same thing, but the emotions can run wild. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Find out more at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. First multi-home run game for Keston Hira. I don't think that's an are you kidding me moment, Billy. I really don't. I expect this, or we're becoming to expect this out of Keston, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not that surprised anytime that he's going to have multi-homer games. I think the are you kidding me moment of the game, Tim, and it doesn't even come in this game. For me, it's the L.A. Dodgers. Dude, they have 10 walk-off wins and 77 wins. That is stupid. They have 10 walk-off wins, and we're not even to my birthday yet.
Who was the dude, Ethier? out there in L.A.
Your boy Andre Ethier?
Some years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the walk-off specialist. He got the Brewers a couple of times as well with late-inning hits. But this is far surpassing what he did. This is crazy good. The Dodgers, I don't know. I know a lot of people think the collision course is Houston and L.A., and sometimes when everybody thinks one thing, it doesn't happen. Maybe, just maybe. We'll see. We'll see. There's certain teams that match up well against other certain teams. You know what I'm getting at. You know, not the cart ahead of the horse here. And the Brewers, one game at a time. We'll focus on our attention Friday night. Game one, three game set. Rangers into town. Interleague action. As the Brewers are now four games over 500, they are three games back of front-running Chicago and game on here after the Brewers sweep the Pirates. We'll be back on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
8-3, final. Brewers get the win. Peter, you wanted to have a conversation. We're talking Brewers baseball here on The Fan. What's happening?
Hey, guys. What a nice, boring win tonight, huh?
Oh, you got to love these boring wins, yes.
Exactly. I think that's what good teams need, you know, where you're not stressed. You can, you know, you have some flexibility and everything like that. So it was nice to see, you know, you don't use Yelich. You don't need to even think about bringing in Hader or anything like that. So very nice win against a team that, you know, is really struggling. You know, I think they're 4-21 now since the break. But so you'd like to say, yeah, that's what they should do. But I have a question for you, an observation. I don't know, Ryan Braun in the sixth spot. I can't remember ever him hitting below, you know, in the top five. And I may be wrong. And I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on it. Is this kind of a one-time deal, or
no, Peter? I think
big
it's
on Keston Hira that, you know, we're going to play our best players at the top, regardless of seniority.
I think it's a really good point, Peter. And actually, earlier today, Hargecourt had this out on Twitter. Tim, I don't know if you ran past it as well.
I did.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And Timmy, he just talked about with Ryan Braun talking about him going into right field. You're thinking, well, why isn't he just playing over in left? And he told Counts, hey, man, why don't you put the young kid over there in left? He could probably cover a little bit more ground than me. And talking about Trent Grisham, that's something that 20 would have had none of. He would have said,
no,
I'm going to play out there and I'm going to make a diving catch. You put the rookie on the bench and he'll watch me hit third.
No, Ken Maka tried to flip-flop him and Braun, and that just wasn't going to hold water with Brawny and Prince. So he's pretty convicted in his ways. However, those were interesting comments, and I think he has turned into a team player to the point where he sees the growth in this team and he sees the potential.
Yeah.
And I heard your conversation about whether or not he's going to retire in a Brewers uniform. Is he going to stick around to see this thing? You could do one hell of a lot worse than having Ryan Braun as a contributing player on your baseball team.
I could not agree more. What else do you want young players to see? We talked about tonight on the show about young players coming into the league, knowing that success is coming, and then also being able to sustain that. Ryan Braun knew he was going to be successful, right? I remember you, the first time he talked to him, he goes, that Ryan Braun kid, I like him. He doesn't lack any confidence in him. So he loves himself some right. Ryan Braun. And Ryan Braun has seen everything in this league. He's done everything in this league. Maybe some not so good. But if anybody is going to teach young players the ropes of Major League Baseball in a pennant race, you're right. You could do a lot worse than number eight.
Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction in a Brewers 8-3 victory. I'm going to say they corrected this road trip. Something really nice happened after they lose four straight. They're 1-5 heading into the final three games and the final leg of this journey. They battle back. They get the three wins. They end up 4-5. They end up back in second place, three games back of Chicago. There's your correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. And, Peter, I got to say, I'd never heard that term before in all the years of doing this show. I've never heard the term a nice, boring win.
Do you like that one?
I love that one.
I think we're going to start using that. It really was, though. This is, but we've been waiting for it. Get it? Just let us hang out and look up some Vegas flights for our Super Bowl trip while the Brewers are winning instead of these 12-2 losses, because those are no fun. It's no fun talking about going to Vegas for the Super Bowl when the Brewers are getting steamrolled by the Marlins 14-0 after six.
Exactly. A little forward thinking with Forward Financial Partners at FFPWI.com. They get an off day tomorrow, and then they get an off day Monday. But before that, it's a three-game set against the Rangers. Did I hear it was a Josh Hader bobblehead on Sunday?
Yeah, it is. And I'm thinking that I just might have to stick around, Timmy, for we're going to do some pregame. Just might have to stick around. Now, have they announced – you keep up on the promotional schedules because I know you love all your giveaways and your, you know, rookie cards and all that good stuff. Have they announced, is this bobblehead going to be similar to the Derek Turnbow one with the real hair?
No.
It's a huge mistake.
It is.
Major mistake.
They should have had all hair going every which way, without a doubt. Chain flying around, the whole thing.
Oh, man, that would have been awesome.
That would be cool if they provided a little necklace in there with it. Well, next time.
Here we go, this guy. Always got to have something else. Always got to have something else. They do have the pictures out, though, of the Yasmani Grandal bobblehead that'll come up when they take on the D-backs, and he's doing the horns, like the bull horns when he comes over and hits a home run. So that's a cool one that they're deciding to do.
Well, and that's on Sunday, but Friday, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show presented by Allegra Allergy Relief will get you ready for game one of that three-game set. And after the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll meet you right here in the postgame studios. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Nice job from Sam Schmitz tonight for Baby Tops Bill Schmid. My name is Tim Allen. You guys enjoy the Packers tomorrow as NFL football is going to take a backseat to Brewers baseball for the remainder of the season here, 2019's championship season.
Yeah, it still can be. We actually just had one of our buddies, KS Timmy, tweet out, can it be the 2020? How many home runs will Keston Hira hit in the 2020 championship season?
There you go.
He's got 32 right now if you count in his ones at AAA.
2020 vision for the Brewers.
Ooh, I like that. Timmy, you also forgot to mention this. 11 o'clock tomorrow, if you're wandering around the Wisconsin State Fair, you can watch yours truly. Not compete, win the celebrity cream puff eating competition.
I will accept nothing less than you beating Dario Melendez in that cream puff eating contest.
Tomorrow. Would it be bad if I just took the cream puff and just slapped it right across somebody's face?
Is there a performing enhancing drug that you could take before that?
Well, I could have probably talked to the burnout Pittsburgh Pirates, but now, you know, they're 4-21 in their last 25, so I don't know if they'd be able to help me.
True.
But yes, probably could.
You guys have a great night. Enjoy the victory. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.